everyone, and welcome back into another fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We have an incredible show to be sharing with you this time, such a timely piece. And we are joined by two brilliant artists to talk about this piece. We have the performers, co-writers, and creators, John Wolfomack and Fada Zidane. They're here to talk to us about La Mama's presentation of Lines, happening April 25th through May 12th at La Mama's Downstairs Theater. And you can get your tickets and more information by visiting lamama.org. We are so honored to have these guests with us today, and again, to be bringing you the show. So let's go ahead and welcome on our guests so we can dive right in. John Fada, welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you.
Hello. Thank you.
I am so happy you're here today. I can't wait to learn more about this piece that is literally opening in just a couple of days. So, John, can we start with you? Could you tell us a little bit about what Lines is about?
Two parallel lines are being looked at, and one of them is mine and Fida's personal life in terms of who we are, our history, and what. So that's like from our parents being born all the way to us being born and to us being where we are today. And the other parallel line is the political line, which is the history of Uganda and Palestine. I'm from Uganda, Fida is from Palestine. So it's, I guess Lines is trying to walk those two timelines and sort of reach and find meaning in what colonial past means and what has done to our personal lives and to our countries in them. I'm gonna leave it there and let Fida juice it up.
You said enough, actually. But it's also about, let's say, if I want to pick words, it's about belonging, it's about family, it's about identity, and how the history and the politics affected all of this.
Yeah, and it takes place over 5 decades. And
yeah.
we played different characters. Each you meet, someone is in a prison, is being visited over 5 days. So it starts from the 70s all the way to now, I guess. Yeah, and these prisons are in Uganda, Palestine, and the UK.
I love all of that. Such a fantastic story. I'm intrigued to see how this all comes together. So Fada, let me come to you. And can you tell us, how is it that you came upon this piece or came up with the idea with this piece, since you're one of the co-creators and co-writers?
Yes, sure. So Alex told me, which is the producer, she told me about, I mean, I know Alex since 2018, maybe before. And then she told me about this great festival in Kampala, in Uganda. And then I went there to perform my monodrama, my personal show. And then at the same day, it means that also John performed his monodrama. And we performed in the same day. So, and we just find out that we have a lot of similar subjects and themes in between these two monodramas. And then Alex, the producer, said, wow, I want to see you both together on one stage, on one project, one play. And then since 2019, we started to think how we will work together. We started on Zoom meeting during the corona because COVID came to 2020. And then it took us a lot of time to, you know, to write and to devise from far. And only last year we met in England, and then we met in Italy for workshop and devising face to face. And another, the director, our great director, Junaid Sreddin, he joined us, and then he was the dramaturg, and we built it up till we have a show.
That is so fantastic. I love the way the show has come together and the journey it's gone on. Now, John, I want to ask you, as I mentioned in the intro, we are just a couple of days away from opening the show. What has it been like developing this particular iteration and putting it up on its feet?
I mean, making any theater show at this present time is a challenge in itself. And that's if you're making the show at home, meaning everybody is from the same place and lives in the same place and are coming together to create something. When you're creating something like lines, first of all, the subject matter in itself, what it's dealing with, is very sort of dear to us. And, you know, how we discovered getting there is by us having to open ourselves up and sort of be free and sort of let what comes out come out and discover who we are in the process. I think part of creating any piece of work is discovering the things that you don't know and finding them and knowing what they are, you know. And that's really exciting. I learned a lot about Palestinian culture and Fida's upbringing, childhood that I had no idea about. And I'm sure it's the same with Fida. And I learned a lot about Ugandan culture actually as well that I didn't know. You're trying to create something that speaks different languages, literally different languages in terms of a culture, in terms of theater, languages of theater. So you have myself, who is Ugandan, but trained in the UK and is living in the UK. My perspective and my way of making theater is different, for example, from Fida's, from Junaid's, from Alex, you know, and it's about, I think a lot of it was trying to go, okay, cool, what are the different artistic sort of visions and artistic skills that we have in this group, and how do we put that together to create something that is accessible and people understand, but at the same time is representative of all the voices that are working on the piece. We did it, I think, I hope. You know, one of the challenges I would say was being on Zoom, working with four different time zones, you know, and figuring out, like, there's the artistic challenges which you enjoy, but I think the logistical challenges, they're not fun, but we had a lot of those. And to be honest, a piece of work like this doesn't exist if you don't make those sacrifices, which is what I love about this show. You know, it's very unique. I don't think anyone, anywhere, will ever see a show like this, ever.
I mean, I have certainly never seen a show like this, and I can't wait to take this in and really just, I don't know, soak up the story that you're creating. You know, I think that's a perfect pitch as well. A great story across time zones, you know? The fact that it doesn't exist in a vacuum or just not unique to one specific country or place, you know, that it is something that anyone around the world can identify with and relate to is brilliant, you know. So I want to build on that and ask you, Fida, is there a message or thought you hope audiences take away from this piece?
Well, one of our purpose also was to bring Uganda and Palestine and what commons between us to the audience. Also, this history that was full of conflicts and how it affects us now. So it just, you know, to put a spotlight on maybe on what's happening now that it is affected from the past. So we need to take care of what we are doing now so we know how it will affect the next generation. But also, of course, like to tell our stories of home, and what we goes through, what we went through, and not, and when I say what we went through, not only me and John, but what we are present basically, which is Uganda and Palestine, and we know that these two countries, like one, it's under like how we say it, under post-colonialism, and Palestine is still under the occupation, and a lot of things goes around, so. And basically to bring the voices of the prisoners that we don't hear usually. So there is a lot to bring, to deliver for the audience for sure.
That is a brilliant idea. John, is there anything that you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, Fida put that really well. I would say as well, we live in a time, especially in the West, where division and difference is this sort of, it's what's being preached, I guess. You know, they're trying to show people, there's a lot of things showing us our differences, you know, and why we shouldn't collab or be together or, you know, and work together. I mean, I think this show has over 8 different nationalities at least working on it in terms of us and the creative team. If anything, I hope that it shows that our differences actually can be used to unite us, and we celebrate that.
I love that idea. Great ideas that you're both trying to impress onto your viewers and your audiences. My final question for this first part, I want to ask both of you, and that is, who do you hope have access to lines? And Fida, can I start with you first on that? Is that all right?
Yeah. Well, first of all, everyone is welcome to see the show. And I hope that, you know, as many people, I mean, but maybe, you know, especially in these times with what happens back home, my home in Palestine, like, I would love, you know, of course, again, anyone, but maybe Palestinians who are far, and they, you know, sometimes this, you could feel close and you can, you know, hear your story or a bit of your story from others. So this is a kind of solidarity, but also, you know, it's first of all, we are human beings, and this story is about humanity and about love and about, I mean, you know, the stories about characters that they pulled into such a reality that they didn't choose, and we all could be through these situations. So everyone is welcome, and I expect, like, I hope that a lot of people, never mind who they are or from where they are or what is their nationality, to come and to see the show.
That is brilliant. I love that. That is a great pitch there. John, how about you? Who do you hope have access to the piece?
Wow. Yeah, I love what you said, Fida. It's about love. And I think for other characters, we meet a lot of impossibility. Almost getting there and then not quite. A lot of challenges. I think we all have challenges, and they are relative, you know. Doesn't mean they're not important, you know. Someone might be crying because the dog died, or someone might be crying because they've lost a loved one. Both are relative, and both are important, and both carry weight. I don't think this is a show of, it's normally easy to go, oh, I would love for this group of people, I would love for this group of people to come. I would say, like, without anyone, just come with an open heart. You know, just come ready to experience more than theater.
For the second part of our interview, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pick your brains, if you will. And I want to start with our perennial first question, which is, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or are just some of your favorites? Fida, can I start with you? Is that okay?
Okay, let me tell you that. Who is, like,
me?
I... You too, of course, John. But I was, you know, I discovered, I mean, my brother used to do theater, and this is the first person that I knew that he used to do theater when I was just, like, you know, since I was a child. And then when I was in the third grade, so I joined the theater, and then, you know, school, and I'm from a small village in Palestine, so theater didn't really exist there. It used to be. But anyway, then after that, to the university, I studied theater. A lot of, you know, a lot of things was inspiring me, like, you know, Palestinian actors, also Palestinian writers, like, for example, Ghassan Kanafani. He did, you know, he not necessarily write only a theater, but we played his stories that he writes. And also even a Hebrew poets, it was an inspiration for me. And a lot of, you know, it's I don't have only one thing, but I can tell you that I love physical theater. I love when there is, you know, I'm dealing with story. I'm also writing. So I love classical stories also. And many things could inspire me. But, you know, basically I'm dealing the last like more than 6 years, I'm doing political theater.
I love that answer. That is a fantastic answer. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
John, what about you? What or who inspires you?
Me.
Yes, you. Yes.
Yes, then.
Of course. Actually, not very different from you, Fida. I don't think I have like one person or like that I'm like, this is always the person I always go back to. I have a little small picture of Nina Simone framed in my room, if that counts. I think poetry, definitely, and the ability to hear people's spirit and soul and voice through their art and through their work. I think I find that I will have an artist, or, you know, a musician or a writer, or that I will listen to or read for some time and then get inspired by that and then, you know, sort of move on. That's still there, but, you know, that sort of changes with time. Yeah, I don't think I have like one person, but I think in terms of my work, I would say as an artist, what's normally bringing something out of me to write. First of all, I believe that by the time an idea comes to an artist, it's been traveling for centuries. You know, it's something that's, it's been on the way for a long time. For you to be born and then for these ideas to come to you, it's not random. But so with that, I'm mainly inspired by what I know, so who I am, and that's my culture, you know, my upbringing, my parents, my grandparents, where I grew up, and then the community in which I'm staying in and I'm living in. I always say this, that it's important for an artist to represent the part of themselves that is in society. So, for example, I'm from Uganda. I'm a millennial, a Ugandan millennial Black man living in Sheffield. Sheffield, England, if you're going to cast someone from Sheffield, England, they're not going to sound like this. But I live in Sheffield and I exist in Sheffield, and that's my home, you know? So who's going to represent that voice in Sheffield? Yeah, I think a lot of, I hope that makes sense.
Yes. No, that's brilliant. I love that. Well, we've arrived at my favorite question to ask guests, and I'm really excited to hear yours. And that, of course, is what is your favorite theater memory?
I have one, but it's a bit silly, but it's like one of my favorite memories. I don't know why. I used to participate in this, like one of my favorite plays called Gharbna al-Bahr in Arabic, which is the sea is in our west. And it was in Jaffa, and it's written and directed by Amir Nizar Zarbi. And I had this monologue with the fish, you know, it's like a real fish, dive, but it's a real one. And then, and you know, before we start the play, then I was checking the costume and everything was there and stuff. And then they used to put it in a bucket. Mm-hmm. And then I'm looking at the bucket. There is no fish. There is water. There is no fish. And then five minutes before the show, and then I start running. Where's the fish? Where's the fish? And then they start to laugh at me. They will say like, okay, we'll give you for now a tuna pocket to do it. But then it appears that the guy who cleaning the stage, so he had a bucket also with water and he was cleaning the stage. But at some point when he reached to the bucket with the fish, then he switched it without notice that. And then he just take it instead. And then this is like this stressful feeling of stressful before the show when something changed. And for me, it was like, you know, we noticed that, the director noticed that immediately. But this is one of my favorite moments on theater. Silly, but yes, it is.
Yeah. I love that. That's a great memory. Thank you for that. What an odd smelling stage that day, I guess.
Yeah. Smelling fish. Because it was about Jaffa, and you know, Jaffa is next to the sea, so it's sink, it's fine.
It worked in the end, yeah.
Yeah.
John, how about you? What is your favorite theater memory?
Yeah, I saw a play in the Crucible a few years back called Desire Under the Elms. I mean, it's an American classic, as you Americans, I'm sure you do know. And there's a scene in the play where it starts in the upstairs and then it goes into the basement. And then, yeah, it's just a scene change from an upstairs room into a basement room. And the theater has underneath it, like a gap, so you can disappear off. And they had the actor go down the stairs. And obviously once you go down, then you're backstage. But then as the actor went, the rest of the cast brought and changed the set into the basement room. And then the other actor just appeared as it was finishing. There was a fire. It was the most satisfying. It is still the most satisfying scene change I have ever seen. It was incredible. It was just like, this is the magic. This is the feeling you get, the magic of theater. Something, the same room, but you've been made to believe it was, you know. And if the theater didn't have that, you know, if the actor didn't take the stairs down, you could not quite achieve it to the same degree, you know. It was beautiful. It was, I mean, the play was great as well. It was well acted and well directed. Of course, it's a great, well-written piece. But yeah, that scene change.
Ooh. That is so wonderful. I can literally see it as you were talking about it. And I was like, oh yeah, that's satisfying. That's that seamless transition. So we don't see like this is a scene change, but rather it's like, oh, we're just following him downstairs. Oh, we're here. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you both for sharing those wonderful memories. Those were fantastic.
Thanks.
As we wrap things up, I would love to know, do either of you have any other projects or productions coming down the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
So just to say, Lines is a co-production with Remote Theatre Project, who are based here in New York and led by the incredible Alexander Aron, and Roots and Billy Theatre, which is my theatre company back in Sheffield, and of course being presented by La Mama here in New York, and Sheffield Theatres are also a co-producer on it as well. But yeah, in terms of, I say that to just say that, we have, Roots and Billy has things in the pipeline probably in a few years' time. I'm writing, so I've written a story about African soldiers in World War II fighting for Britain, hoping to produce that at some point. And then hopefully we have a show as well called Far Gone, which we hope to bring to New York at some point in the future, which is the show I was doing when Fida and I met in Uganda in 2019.
And maybe we will have another shows for this year, like with Lines. And me, I'm going, after this tour, I'm going back to Palestine, and I feel ready to have not traveling and just to sit and write and work around in my area.
Wonderful. Some great things to be on the lookout then for. So this is wonderful. And it leads to my final question, which is, if our listeners would like more information about Lines or about either of you, perhaps they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
For Lines, head to lamama.org.
Or remotetheaterproject.com.
All details are there.
Wonderful. Well, John, Fida, thank you both so much for taking the time to speak with me and for sharing this incredible work. I am so excited to see it. So I really appreciate your time today. Thank you both so much.
Thank you. Love your energy.
Love your energy, man. Thank you for this lovely time. Yeah.
Thank you so much. My guests today have been the performers, co-writers, and creators John Rothomak and Fida Zidane. They're both performing in La Mama's presentation of Lines, which is happening April 25th through May 12th at La Mama's Downstairs Theater. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting lamama.org. And we also have some contact information for our guests, which we will be posting on our episode description, as well as on our social media posts. But right now, run, don't walk, get your tickets for this amazing, amazing show. We're going to be there, so come join us for a Stage Whisper night out at the theater. The show again is Lines, happening April 25th through May 12th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies,
and keep talking about the theater
in Stage Whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.